morning. Our message tonight, or today, is Trust God's Sovereignty. We'll be reading from Jeremiah 12, 1 through 17. Please stand for the reading of the word. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet, let me talk to you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? And why are those so happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them, yes, and they have taken root. They grow, yes, and they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me. You have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the herbs of the field wither? The beasts and the birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And then if in the land of peace in which you trusted you are wearied, then how will you do in the footplain of the River Jordan? If your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you, yes, they have called a multitude after you, do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I hate it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Come assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. Many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate, because no one takes it to heart. The plunderers have come on the desolate heights of the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour, and one end of the land to the other end of the land, no flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat but reap thorns. They have put themselves into pain but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest, because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I plucked them out of their land and plucked them out of the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, I shall return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, as they taught the people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. If they do not obey, I will pluck them out and destroy that nation, says the Lord.
Amen. Dave, could you pray for me?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, I just lift up Pastor Mike right now. We ask that you would put every word that comes out of his mouth be from you and your spirit. Be with him. Remove the butterflies and give him the confidence and the courage to bring your word as you would have it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Not the butterflies. You may be seated. Thank you, Dave. You can set that. Good morning. Crazy days, huh? Crazy days. We're going to get through the crazy days just fine. Amen. Hallelujah. With that said, I want to just say this again. Get those forms filled out so we can get your numbers, your emails, and cell carriers, because that's our best way to communicate so everybody gets it, like, right now. And we'll probably know by Wednesday what's going to happen in the week ahead and then in the weeks ahead. So just be on alert for that. How many people here have asked for a word from God and you received a word from God and then the word from God came true? If that's you, just raise your hand. Wow. Wow. I was up here at the altar. I drank way too much coffee. I have to go to the bathroom, but if it wasn't for the weeping that I was doing right there before, I'd have to go right now. But that has happened to me just recently. And it was the faithfulness, that second song we were singing that dealt with faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. And I want to remind you that when you talk to Him and you ask of Him and He reveals things to you, there is a faithfulness that will come to you. And I can't help but think about the faithfulness of God when we're looking at Jeremiah. And this may come up later and again, and if it does, it's a good reminder. But the guy preached for 42 years to an obstinate nation, and they would not respond to the words that God had given him to speak. Yet here we are, some 3,000 years later, reading the very words that God spoke to him. Why? Because God is faithful. And he was faithful to accomplish purposes in Jeremiah, which came to be. I don't know that he got to see him there, but I believe he's looking down from the portals of heaven, as Jerry would say. He'd use that phrase, the portals of heaven, to see that the word that God gave him came forth to us today. He's faithful. Some things I want you to know before we really get into this. The essence of God, and it's broad and it's vast, but for today's sake, we're going to share that the essence of God is He is holy. He is love, and He is totally and completely sovereign. And when I look at this chapter, the three of those things show and shine through it. A holy God. Holy means to be set apart. There is none like Him. Holy. So what is He set apart from? He is set apart from sin. He is set apart from all others. He is set apart from time. That's our God. He is set apart from feeble thinking, like I have. So our God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's always present, everywhere, all the time. Omnipresent. What's the other one? He is all-powerful. Omnipotent. And because of these things, He is sovereign. And He is a sovereign above all things. So when we see things in His Word that don't make sense to us on this natural plane that we live in and operate in, it's okay. Because He is sovereign. And I have to trust in His sovereignty. I have to trust that He will do what's right. I have to trust in Him. Now, I could really slide into a political thing right now. But that's not trusting. That's not trusting in Him doing what He is going to do. That's me cultivating something that I don't really want to do right now. Because I'm going to trust in Him. Amen? All right. That's the front drop. What we're going to talk about. Within His holiness, we know that He is righteous. And Jeremiah is going to approach Him because he has some issues. These are issues I would have. And my guess is, based on this last week, there's issues that you all have. And if you had access to me all the time, I would probably hear your issues all the time. But He is the one who is righteous, not us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. It's good for us to know that. But know that He is righteous. So when Jeremiah is going to approach Him, he says, "Righteous are you, Lord, when I plead with you." That's like my son he's going to ask me for something, and he's going to tell me what a great dad I am. You're a great dad. Now, can I have the car? Can I do this? Can I do that? Lucas, you better bow your head. I'm talking to you. Righteous are you, Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Here comes the complaint. My son said, Dad, I don't like how you discipline, when he was about 4 years old. Sharp kid, right? I don't think spankings are right. Okay. And he went on with his argument. As a 4 or 5 year old kid, he had arguments. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's this. I don't think it's that. And then I repeated, so you don't think, you don't think, you don't think. Here's what I think. You do what you're told to do and you're going to be okay. And if you don't do what you're told to do, then that thing that you don't think is fair is going to come about. So we had these kinds of discussions. But this is really Jeremiah saying kind of the same thing to God. I don't think it's fair. What did he think was not fair? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? How is that possible? And we have all seen it. We have all said the very same thing. I know I have. God, I do this. I go to church every Sunday. I pray before I eat. When I go to bed, I pray. I'm a good guy. Yet that knucklehead down the street does this and that and this, and look at him just prosper. And I'm eking by. Well, that's not fair. Can I trust in the sovereignty of God that he's got this worked out? Can I trust that maybe for that guy, this is it? I shared this with one of the pastors. That's it. That's all there is. There's nothing more that comes to them after that if they're not in Christ. They get to enjoy a season. Is a season in God's eyes. That's a lifespan. And that's a reward. Do you look for that reward or do you look for greater reward? Don't worry about how somebody's prospering or not prospering. Worry about how you are doing in your relationship with Christ. Go back to having your eyes fixed upon him. Worry about that. The things that come at us are going to come at us. What things? Well, I know this. Rain comes at us when it comes at the wicked. That's what the Bible tells me. Thorns grow up in the fields of the righteous and the wicked. That's what the Word tells us. When God judges a land, there are righteous people within the land that have to deal with the judgment and the punishment that comes. That's hard. That's hard. The scary things that Pastor Tim was talking about. I mean, I'm here. I'm in this country. Little red dots are showing up. I'm not immune from little red dots. Little red dots happen. The common cold happens. People get sick. It happens. People have things happen in their lives that are just like, oh, it happens. Do I trust in the sovereignty of God? Thorns in the flesh happen. Can I trust in the sovereignty of God? When he says, my grace is sufficient for me, I can on a level. But on another level, I'm whining and complaining just like Jeremiah is doing right here. To be really honest. Thank you, Jesus. Trust in God. Trust in his sovereignty, even when his people are far from him. Trust in him. Trust in him when your family is far from him. Trust in him. Michael Card said, trust in the seed of the prayer that you planted into your children. Trust in that. But Mike, you don't know. My kids are 35 years old and they're messing up. Trust in the seed of prayer that you planted in them. My brother, actually I haven't seen my brother in 20 years. I just got to see him. It was an amazing reunion after 15, 20 years, whatever it was. I thought I'll probably never see him again. And then I see him. We rejoice. We hug. We cry. Thank you, Jesus. And then God does a little something extra special that I'll share with you all later, not today. It's not really a stake, but you should salivate a little bit. Have you planted them? Verse 2. Yes, they have taken root, they grow, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. I can't think of another thing that so frustrates me than somebody who plays church but doesn't live church. They talk all the right stuff, but their life is hollow and shallow. And you can discern it. If you're a believer, you can read it. And it eats at you, and I'm saying don't let it eat at you. Because I'm going to take you back to your salvation. Oh, man, for 3 months you were on fire. Some of you were speaking in tongues, moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. You were just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then in the fourth month you waned and fiddled away. I don't mean you all, but you all. It happens to all of us. And thank God that the people that had the influence over me in my life weren't the ones judging me, because it would have crushed me. It would have just smashed me. So don't worry about them. A sovereign God knows all about them. A sovereign, all-loving God totally loves them. But I want to be clear. A sovereign God is holy, and he'll deal with them as he will. In Genesis 18, it tells us about the holy God. And he says, will not the God who spoke to Abraham because he was pleading for Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And he starts at 40 or 45 and he goes down to 40. Then he goes to 30. Then he goes to 20. Then he goes to 10. And there's no righteous people. There's one. There was Lot. There's one. Did God do right? He did. He did what a sovereign God does. He holds to his word. Lot, get you and your family out of here. Because smoke and fire and brimstone are coming. And a holy God, when he says something is happening, it's going to happen. And that's what a holy God does. A loving God gives the warning and says, get out of here. Go here. That's what a loving God says. Go here. Go here. Judgment is coming. This is what Jeremiah is doing for his whole tenure as a prophet over Israel. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And when you come to that place, it speaks about it in Jeremiah 5. It starts to talk about the horsemen. And it talks about the footmen. And I'm going to give you just a little parallel militarily, which we got in our life group from D. Light, gave us the most beautiful, quick little teaching in our life group. But basically in the battlefield in the day, when one team was coming after, let's say us, they would first come after us on foot. They would trot after us on foot, and they would break us down and make us weary. And then after they did the breaking down, then they would send in the horsemen, and the horsemen would come in and easy pickings and clean them up. Same thing happens to us spiritually. If I take this to a spiritual picture, things come at you all the time. Things that should bring you to the altar all the time. Things that bring you to the prayer people all the time. Things that should cause you talking to Jesus all the time. They come at us and they're hard things. They're really hard things. Like I remember the first time I got hit with a Social Security bill when I left teaching. They paid my Social Security. It's not something I thought about. I get into this and I don't pay. I don't have to pay. Wow, this is a great deal, great deal. Boom, you owe $7,000 or $6,000. What? And it rocked me. And it messed me up and it made me angry. It made me pray. Those are the footmen. And God uses these things. People talk back behind my back. It hurts. People say things about your messages are too long. Keep going. That's my sister. And they keep telling me those things and they hurt. But you know what they do? They toughen us up. They toughen me up and they strengthen me. And they toughen me up and they strengthen me for what? For the horsemen. For the big things that are coming down the road. And the big things coming down the road look like ministries in my mind's eye. They look like calls to go to places you don't want to go. They look like selling out for somebody else other than yourself. Men will be talking to prisoners in this church. Thank you, Jesus. They'll be preaching to them. Men right now and women right now are running a ministry in this community that are helping people that are deep hurts. And sometimes they're not easy to confront. Those are horses. When God sends you to those places, traumatic things will happen in your life. Those are horses. And can you stand against the horses when they come? The Bible tells us in the last days that the enemy is going to come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Are you so locked into the Spirit of the Lord that you can stand against the horsemen that come in those days? In the book of Revelation, it says four horsemen will come. Four. And they will reap destruction on the land. You know what's happening right now in today's world? Those are foot soldiers coming at us. Because when it comes, we start talking about thirds of the earth, thirds of the world, thirds of the tree, thirds of the waters coming at this world. And God's going to raise people up in that day, probably Jews, who found Christ to do what? To share what you and I are supposed to be sharing all the time with people we come in contact with. And why do we share and why don't we share? I don't share because of fear. Because in my training, I never got past it. I don't share because of hurts when people say bad things about me, and I never got past it. I don't share because of depression, and really my world is a mess, and I don't have the energy to share. I hurt. So I don't share. But he is calling us to share. In this day, who does share? Those who don't care. I don't care about my personal struggles. He's got that. He's sovereign, remember? I don't care about those things. I care about doing what he says. Tim Kelly goes off to Africa with his family. Thank you, Jesus, for not asking me to do that. And he went over there. And he's still over there. And by the way, he's fielding the foot soldiers every day he's over there. David Bruning, another minister here, is called to go. I don't know how many times he's had to battle malaria. I know I would have to battle it once, and I'm not going back. But this man is going back. Why? Because he was trained up, and he can handle the horses. Thank you, Jesus. What have you been called to, and you haven't stepped? What have I been called to that I haven't stepped? For whatever fears, whatever things frighten me, whatever things come at me, whatever obstacles there are, what have I not gone into because of those things? Here's what stirs me. God will prepare you. He's prepared me. He's prepared the prophets. None of them felt they had the wherewithal to speak. One needed an interpreter. He needed Aaron. Another one needed a hot coal on his lips because of his guilt and his shame. Man, he is preparing us. He is preparing you with the trials and the tribulations that come into all our lives as believers. He is preparing you. He is strengthening you. I saw there's a guy, used to be in the young adults group here years ago. He was big into the martial arts. I really like the guy, but he's kind of a knucklehead. Like, he would take a bamboo thing and whack at his shin, saying, "Dude, what is the matter with you?" He says, "What it does is it hardens the bone so that when you kick or when you block, your legs won't shatter." I'm thinking, how about you talk nice to people? You don't have to kick or block or anything. You don't have to beat yourself up every day with a stick, you know? In some cultures, I'm just going to share this because it came to my head like a flight of an idea, but why do people lay on beds of nails and walk over hot coals? I'm not telling anybody to get into self-tribulation because Jesus said in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have tough times. And then he says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome all this. Walk with me and do what I ask you to do. And be scared knowing I'm with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even to the point of death, we don't walk in fear. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The horses are evil. I said that last week. The horses in Ephesians chapter 6 are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Those are horses, and they're frightening, and we don't take them on in any kind of lackadaisical manner. We don't take them light. They'll crush you and squash you, leave you beaten and naked like it did with the demoniac that was possessed. Those are horses. But when we're in him and we've been toughened by him and we trust in the sovereignty of God to take us through whatever comes our way, whatever comes our way, when we get to that place, we're running with the horses. We're beating the horses. And it's not by my might nor by my power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Y'all know I'm off the mark, right? Stay off the mark, Pastor Mike. Stay off it. You owe us 7 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody asked you. Jeremiah 12:3 says, "But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you." And then what does he do? He goes right back to that place and says, "Yank them out, pluck them out, sacrifice them, plunder them, whip them, beat them, deal with them." We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to go back to that place. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready to run with the footmen? Are you ready for that? I hope so. Are you ready to run against footmen? The fiery darts of the enemy, where God gives us a shield of faith to deflect the fiery arrows and darts. The light work, you ready to take on that? We should be. Because it's preparing us to take on the horses. Are you ready to take on the horses? That's hard and it's scary. Now all of a sudden Philippians 4:13 carries weight. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, through Christ, through Christ who strengthens me. It's not by my might, it's him. This is a challenging message, man. This is how it moved in me as I went over it this week. I want you to think about, how is God training you up and preparing you? What trials are you going through? I want you to think of those trials. And you can even rejoice in him, because he's about to do something in you. That's if you're in him. Now, if you're apart from him, you're a mutter. You can't keep up to the horses. You can't keep up to the footmen. You're slipping and sliding and falling. They're trampling over you. I want you to just begin to think on a different level. What is God preparing you for? Can you trust him? Can I trust him? Can I trust his sovereignty? Because greater things are coming. Next thing is, trust God's sovereignty in the disciplining of his people. We struggle when God is chastening his people. We struggle when he's disciplining them. How could a loving God do this? To even ask the question, it's because you don't know about a holy God. How can a loving God punish people in this fashion? Because you don't know about holiness. You don't know what that means. And we begin to judge God for how God judges us. We're out of order. Let's know his order. How can a loving God do that? One, he'll do it because he said he was going to do it. And two, he said he was going to do it because we didn't do what he told us to do. Well, that's not grace. Not in that day. That's him being true to who he is. But remember, he loves equally. So what does he do? He gives us the way out. We always have a way out. And when we get to the end of this chapter, that's exactly what's happening. Jeremiah's asking him to take care of this and pull that out and take care of this. And he says, I will. I will pull Israel out of the mess. And I will pull out the neighboring nations, basically, out of the mess if they obey me. And if they believe like you're supposed to believe. But if they believe like some of you believe, because their people said, and you believe their people, they'll be cast out into the fire, and so will the neighboring nations. The neighboring nations will be saved if they come to him in obedience. Can you bring your team up, Pastor James? Trust God in his judgments. Trust him in how he handles people. Don't be a judger of God. Don't be a complainer of how he works. Trust him. He knows what we don't know. He is what we'll never be. Jesus' name. God's heart, even in this portion of Jeremiah, is for his people to know him. Last week we said he's jealous or zealous about that. His heart hasn't changed. And his heart is for us, in this case it was Israel, for us today, spiritual Israel, to go out and share and be the light that he's called us to be, so that the neighboring nations would come to him. Tim Kelly, Paul Piarki, David Bruning, Bob Lenz. Who? Oh, Pastor Daniel. The Bakers. These are the people that have gone, and they've taken the horses on, head on. They've not worried about the sin of a nation they've gone to. They worried about the heart of God going after those people, that they would come to know them. Jeremiah wants his people to be right. God wants Jeremiah to tell them the truth, because he's going to act out of holiness, or he's going to act out of love. And by the way, in my world, when he's acting out of holiness on this side, when he's acting out of holiness, that is love. I know the parameters. I know the boundaries. I know what he's expecting. I know what I have to do. And here's what we have to do. Knowing that he is a sovereign, holy, and loving God, we have to surrender to him. That's what he asks. That we surrender to him. Israel was finally punished after 42 years of hearing this message. And they were carried off. And Judah was no more like it was before. Because God acted in holiness. Now he's going back for his people. And you'll see that later. Because he's acting in love also. I'm going to stop that message right there. And this is for you to ponder. But I'm going to put out a call to the church. We operate too many times by sight and not by faith. Once again, this is not the political thing. I'm not going there. I don't want to go there. I'm talking about everyday life. We walk by sight and not by faith. If I can't speak it, I get frustrated. If I can't identify it in my mind and my brain, I can't get it. And so therefore I stop. But when I operate by the Spirit of God, and this is where I'm going, when I operate by the Spirit of God, something happens. Understanding, clarity, purpose, everything comes flooding in at me. And it gives me steps to take, directions to go. Sometimes it's blind. I don't know where I'm going. Where's my next step? You remember that? You know what happened because of my blindness and next steps. But if we're not a people who operate by the Spirit of God, we miss things. And what I'd like to do is I would like to have a time. We got lots of time. For us to begin to worship in the Spirit, by the Spirit, because of the tug of the Spirit on our hearts, we begin to talk to him in the Spirit, sing to him in the Spirit, listen to him in the Spirit, because that's what it takes for us to take on the horsemen. We can't take on the horses until we've been trained and tested and filled by the Spirit of God. We cannot take the horses on as we live and dwell in our own flesh. But filled with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we can move. So, Pastor James, I am going to give you the freedom to take us where the Spirit takes you in this worship. I will come back and I'll pray before we're done. But I'm going to invite you to come to the altars. Come to the altars. And if you don't have the Spirit in you, in Luke chapter 10, I believe it is, it says, ask for it, and He will give you the good gift. You ask for that Spirit to come in and fill you. And the Spirit I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. If you're a teen, I believe that the world is going to change because you've surrendered to the Spirit of God. And you will move more than I will if you come up and you're willing to receive the fullness of the Spirit. And then you saints, I heard this from a man of God yesterday. Our job is to see that when those kids get filled with the Spirit of God, they don't burn the place down. That they move by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if that's you, come on up. I'm not going to lead you in it. I'm going to just say, if you want it, you ask God for it. You can do that up here, or you can do it in your seat. But up here is kind of cool.